Hello, fellow Earth folks. I'm Annie Gigg, GYG, here on CFRU 93.3 FM and CFRU.ca, available wherever you are in the world. Warm welcome to Better Me, Better World, the show for growth-minded change makers, difference makers, and happiness makers. This, episode one, is an introduction to me, your host, to the show, and to the show's guiding theme. We're kicking off with a chat about that which is central to introductions and which Dale Carnegie said is the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Your name, the thing you use to introduce yourself to the world. First intro, my name is Annie Gigg, GYG. If you're old enough, maybe you guessed that GYG is short for Get Your Gun. Annie Get Your Gun was the name of the play loosely based on the life of sharpshooter Annie Oakley. It premiered on Broadway way back on May 16, 1946, and on May 17, 1950, almost exactly 5.5 years before I was born, the American musical comedy came to the cinema. I knew nothing of the stage play or movie when my dad called me Annie Get Your Gun in my preschool years, but I loved that moniker, mostly, I believe, because being fourth born and fourth daughter in a family ultimately of 9 kids, this was something that was not a hand-me-down. It was specially and only mine. It was a precious thing just between Dad and me. Once school-aged, I pretty well forgot about the nickname for decades, until I began putting myself out there on social media as a small bit speaker and writer. I wanted a pen name that reflected my values and goals. And one day, as I was mulling over options, didn't an aha strike me when Annie Get Your Gun exploded out of my deeply buried memory box. It was perfect. Not that I'm a gun-toter by any means, but rather, GUN as an acronym quickly revealed itself as an exciting life directive for me. Annie Get Your Gun came to be Annie Get Your G-U-N. Annie Get Your Genuine Unique Nature. Get Your Genuine Unique Nature I saw as an awesome way to say, enable the real, authentic, never-to-be-duplicated, one-of-a-kind character that's me. This life directive my dad unknowingly gave me to enable my authenticity, my uniqueness, has been so empowering. So in that way too, I suppose, as something empowering, the GUN acronym is appropriate. It's the kind of GUN, however, which, if everyone got it, would bring about peacefulness, not violence. Intrinsic abiding empowerment, not the sense of extrinsic power achieved through intimidation by a prop. I'll talk lots more about empowering stuff down the road, and along the way, you'll pick up more bits and pieces that define the me behind my name, such as me as mom, me as retired public sector middle manager, me as certified life coach. But for now, suffice it to say, that's the genesis of why Annie Gigg sounds sweet and most important to me. What about you? What is sweet and important to you about your name? Most of us have no say in what our name is, unless, of course, you're choosing a pen name or legally changing your name. Typically, it's bestowed upon us by our parents. But what our name conjures up in our mind and the mind of others, that we do have a lot of say about. Think about what the following names immediately evoke in your mind. Donald Trump, Mother Teresa, Adolf Hitler, Santa Claus, Drake, Darth Vader, Oprah, Jesus, Stephen King, Albert Einstein, Hannibal Lecter, Buddha. Now, say your name. Out loud, if you will. What thoughts, what feelings does it instantly summon up? Are those thoughts and feelings everything you'd like them to be? What do you want others to think and feel when they hear your name? I'll put those questions another way, at the risk of sounding a little morbid, but it's a reality of life that your and my life will someday come to an end. And at the end, when family, friends, or acquaintances see your name in an obituary, on a tombstone, or on an urn, or a plaque at the base of a tree, how is it you want them to recall you and your life? And that little dash between your birth date and your end date below your name on the plaque, what do you want that dash to encompass or represent? The last stanza of the poem by Linda Ellis called The Dash sums this up nicely. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? There's also an epitaph, that short, meaningful tribute to you on your tombstone or plaque that sums up your dash. How would you like it to be succinctly summarizing the person who carried your name? Here are some epitaphs of well-known and unknown names that I find say a lot about the named person. I traveled the world with work that I love. Martin Gee White, marine biologist and expert Antarctic scuba diver. True to your own spirit, Jim Morrison. She did it the hard way, Bette Davis. Grace, dignity, and elegance personified, Joe DiMaggio. The best is yet to come, Frank Sinatra. My life is more than my action, Mike Taylor, British musician. He found happiness and honor in being helpful to the world. George Washington Carver, born into slavery, became a prominent scientist. I did it my way, name unknown. I'm not saying I'm going to change the world, but I will spark the brain that will change the world. Tupac Shakur, American actor and rapper. He seized life with joy. He gave to life generously. He leaves a legacy of love and laughter. Michael Landon. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And finally, well played, for when the one great scorer comes to write against your name, he writes not that you won or lost, but how you played the game. Harry Bagshaw, English cricketer. How do you want your epitaph to express you? As this conjecturing about your end time may feel a little disconcerting to some, let's stay in the future, but back up a bit in time. Instead of pondering your dash, I invite you to imagine the scenario in which you will soon be turning 100 years old. Your loved ones are planning a surprise birthday party for you, and they've gathered in the den at your place to covertly make their plans when they think you're tucked up in bed sound asleep. Little do they know, you've come out for your forgotten mug of warm milk, and walking down the hall, you hear your name being spoken. You press your ear to the door that's open a crack. You hear them talking about you and your life. They have to write a speech for the party, after all. What is it that you want to hear them saying? What do you want their mood to be in that room as they're talking about you? What picture do you want them to paint of you with their words around your name? We've strayed into some pretty deep thinking here concerning your name as a representation of you and your life. I am going to change course now and talk about something, I was going to say a little lighter, but that's not quite right. A little less personal, but that's not right either. It's just something else name related. The name of this show, Better Me, Better World. My intent in using this name is to reflect the inextricable connections between personal, i.e. individual, wellness and global wellness. I'm wishing upon a star that this show name evolves into a mantra spoken in every language all around the world. There are almost 8 billion of us persons on this planet. Individually developing a better version of ourselves may not hugely better the world, but collectively, better versions of billions of us can change the world significantly for the better. How so? Well, here are a few ways. Number one, a person who is mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually fit, let's call this holistically healthy, gets along well with others, so is able to cooperate and work well with people of all sorts to solve world problems. Number two, a holistically healthy person is able to think better, be more creative, and therefore can innovate to come up with new technologies and ways of thinking to help save the planet. Number three, holistically healthy people aren't held back from trying things by lack of self-confidence or low self-esteem or fear of failure, so they can bring their courageous, unfettered selves into global challenges. Number four, when someone has holistic wellness, they're happy, and happiness spreads like a virus, so a happy person helps raise the worldwide happiness level. And here's a biggie. Number five, a holistically well person doesn't need material stuff to feel successful or important or better than other people because of that intrinsic happiness just mentioned. Less materialism means less environmentally damaging material production and waste. Number six, a person who is holistically healthy is not needy or greedy or hateful, and they have a lot of empathy and compassion and caring for others. They see and respond positively to the bigger global ecological picture. One more, number seven. The more holistically healthy people there are, the less need for medications, medical devices, and therapies. Therefore, the less air, land, and water pollutants there are from the healthcare industry and pharmaceuticals. So many ways our holistic wellness can benefit our world. But I think too often we're inclined to feel, one person of 8 billion, even becoming a better me, can't do anything of significance to make this world a better place. If that's crossed your mind, here's an interesting little fact. In its whole life, a honeybee makes just 1 teaspoon of honey. What if each and every bee said, "I don't have much to offer, why bother?" Instead, bees work exceptionally well together to make an abundance of honey. Until we cause their extinction, but that's a story for another day. So it's win-win, right? When we invest in our personal development, we become the person we were born to be. And we experience the amazing rewards of living authentically with meaning and purpose. And when we're growing into our better and better self, we're increasingly empowered to use our unique skills and talents and perspectives and traits to help this world in a way nobody else can. To make our teaspoon of honey, that's what brings us sustained happiness. That's what changes the world. Hence the name and mantra, better me, better world, better me, better world, better me, better world. You may recall at the beginning, I said this show is meant for change makers, difference makers, and happiness makers. In each 30-minute episode of the show, I'll be talking about some aspect of personal betterment, aka self-development, self-mastery, self-actualization, awakening the giant within, finding your superpower, whatever you want to call the journeying from where you presently are at to a better, a higher, happier, more fulfilled, more fully alive, more authentic, unfettered version of yourself. A self who's better positioned to change the world, make a difference, and spread happiness. I call the process, and here's the third and final name for you today, the Becoming You Journey. Or, because of you may have noticed, I like short forms, the BU, as in the letters, BU Journey. Focusing first on the BU part of this name, I have a question. Who are you? I like how Aubrey Marcus, who calls himself a human optimizer, describes you and me and everyone. He says, "You are comprised of 84 minerals, 23 elements, and 8 gallons of water spread across 38 trillion cells. You have been built up from nothing but the spare parts of the earth you have consumed, according to a set of instructions hidden in a double helix and small enough to be carried by a sperm. You are recycled butterflies, plants, rocks, streams, firewood, wolf fur, and shark teeth, broken down to their smallest parts and rebuilt into our planet's most complex living thing. You are not living on Earth. You are Earth." This is another amazing way of seeing how we human individuals are inextricably entangled with all of creation. Hence, better me, better world. You are bits of creation put together. What physically composes you and everyone else, human and otherwise, has been around since the beginning of the universe. But what makes you unique is the mixture of stuff that composes you. No one else has exactly the same bits and pieces mixed together in the same way as you. And to make you even more unique, that mixture of ingredients, DNA, that is you, has life circumstances and experiences never exactly duplicated by anyone else, anywhere, ever. And your responses to those circumstances and experiences, same thing. They're yours alone. You and I are so frickin' unique, it boggles the mind. And this is the really exciting part. You are greater than the sum of your parts. The whole you is greater than the sum of your parts. You are more than your unique mixture of stuff with your unique life circumstances and experiences to which you uniquely respond. That more than is your superpower. It's what you have to offer to the world in a way only you can. You see superpowers on display all the time by actors, musicians, athletes, great leaders, chefs, writers, architects, activists, artists, masters of any discipline. And often these highly visible manifestations of superpowers can intimidate us into thinking, well, I don't have anything worth offering. But you do. Your superpower might be a particular skill or talent that impassions you. Or it might be your willingness to persevere through setback after setback. It might be your awesome attention to detail or your ability to comfort people. Maybe it's your compassion and empathy. It could be your patience or curiosity or imagination. You have a gift to give that no one else can give exactly the way you can. When that gift is offered, the world becomes a better place. Your sphere of influence in the offering of your gift doesn't have to be large. You don't need to be an internationally renowned entertainer or social media influencer with millions of followers for you to be a change maker, a difference maker, or a happiness maker. Emily Dickinson says it beautifully, "If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin unto his nest again, I shall not live in vain." Not living in vain means living with meaning and purpose. Pablo Picasso said, "The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away." The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. That's a lot easier to say than to do, and this brings me to the journey part of the Be You journey, the last, sweetest, and most important name I'm talking about today. It's the name I use to describe the process of self-betterment, of enabling yourself to find your gift and give it away. The name sounds sweet and most important to me. Sweet because my life has felt increasingly sweeter as I myself have been journeying towards becoming me. And most important, that's because I happen to think the Be You journey is the most important thing anyone can do, i.e. enable a better and better version of themselves in order to make this world a better and better place. So what does journey in this name, Be You journey, encompass? Well, before I get into that, let me clarify that I don't have the way of personal development all mapped out. Actually, there is no the way, because we all make our own unique journey into self-awareness and self-actualization. I do, however, have a fair bit of life experiences and mess-ups that I'll share along the way, because, as they say, there are messages in our messes. In addition to my general learning in the school of life, I also accumulated a fair bit of helpful stuff as a mid-met level manager in the public sector until I retired. More formally, I trained to become a certified life coach. None of this remotely makes me an expert on your life journey, but in stories shared, we can pick up ahas of enlightenment that can, well, help lighten our way ahead. The way ahead, towards your genuine, unique nature, towards empowering yourself by getting your gun, is what I call the BU journey, or alternatively, the BU process, or often simply, BU. After learning the core principles of life coaching, I came to appreciate how many of them apply equally well in the BU process, such as the first principle, you are okay as you are. This is the principle that there is nothing wrong with you. Who you are right now is that unique creation of DNA, circumstances, experiences, and decisions. You may not want to stay where you are presently. You may not like certain aspects of yourself, but that doesn't imply wrongness. You're always and forever a work in progress, and an unfinished project isn't wrong. A house under construction isn't wrong. It's okay. A pie baking in the oven isn't wrong. It's okay. Being in the process of learning a new language isn't wrong. It's okay. The second principle, you have all the resources you need to succeed. Another way of stating this principle is, you've got what it takes to become the you you were born to be. That's my definition of success, which enables other types of success. You may not be able to effectively access those resources just yet for various reasons, but the BU journey is all about gaining that access. The third principle, behind every behavior, there is a positive intent. This principle means that at any given time, you react in the way you believe best. Everything that you do or decide is the best you are capable of doing in light of the wisdom you currently have. Based on this principle, you can more easily put yourself in the shoes of others and better trust that their words or actions are the best the other person is capable of doing from their current place of wisdom. The fourth principle, you always make the best choice available in the moment. This principle builds on the previous two, and your immediate response might be, no effing way. The phrase, in the moment, is key to understanding this. It means that considering the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical resources you're able to access within yourself in the moment of choosing, you make your best possible choice, because that's all you have to go on in the moment. In hindsight, even a minute later sometimes, you may regret your choice. But in the very moment of choosing, the version of you that existed in that moment chose what the then you felt was for the best. Adapting Maya Angelou's words, you do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, you can do better. The fifth principle, change is inevitable. This principle applies to you and all of creation. Can you think of anything in creation that isn't always changing? Except for maybe the speed of light, but can we even be sure Einstein got that right? The universe is expanding, mountains are being pushed up taller or being worn down. Even if we can't see the change over our relatively short human lifespan, it's happening, however slowly. You used to be able to say at a glacial rate, but unfortunately that's a rate of change that has increased too rapidly. We'll dive further into these principles as we go, but here and now there are a couple of things I do want to clarify about the BU journey. Firstly, this is a journey without end. Self-development, personal growth, releasing the giant within is a lifelong process. I've been using the word better, not best you, best world, because it's a process or a journey towards a better and better and better you, not achievement of a perfect you. You cannot ever become a perfect version of yourself, whatever that might be, not in this lifetime. Practice, practice, and more practice never really makes perfect. It just brings you closer to perfection. Is there a perfect athlete, musician, dancer, leader, or public speaker? No, but with practice, the masters grow increasingly masterful. They will benefit from their growing expertise all along the way by advancing in their field, winning competitions, experiencing increasing confidence and competence. Because of the gains along the way, they're impassioned, not disheartened by the process. the BU journey yields many rewards along the way, not at some ultimate destination that doesn't exist. The second thing I want to make clear is that once you set out on the BU journey, you can't return to who you were. Awareness gained can never be ungained. You cannot unknow what you've come to know. You cannot uncarve what you've carved. And I'm saying this carver thing because there's a quote by Michelangelo that's long resonated with and inspired me to carry on. He said, "I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set him free." I don't know about you, but the promise of freedom that comes from releasing myself from whatever it is that causes me to stay stuck, to self-sabotage, is pretty dang compelling. And so is becoming real, becoming authentic, not having to play at being someone I'm not. And so is feeling increasingly comfortable in my own weird skin wherever I am, i.e. lovingly embracing my uniqueness. I want the freedom of having more say in the direction my life goes. I want to write my own life story, not have it written for me. Carl Jung said, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate." The BU journey is about making the unconscious conscious so that instead of being a puppet on the strings of fate, you can become real, like Pinocchio, or like the Velveteen Rabbit. The child's story, The Velveteen Rabbit, by Marjorie Williams, is about a stuffed toy rabbit waiting and wanting to be a real-life rabbit. I cannot to this day read that book without tearing up. The Skin Horse, a fellow toy in the same nursery as The Velveteen Rabbit, explains the process of becoming real. "It doesn't happen all at once," said the Skin Horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand." My eyes haven't dropped out yet, but I'm kind of shabby, having lost the bloom of youth. But you know what? I like to think of myself as a rose hip. What's left after the bloom drops off the rose? Rose hips are touted to have health benefits. So this is a good example that no matter what stage of life you're at, you have something to offer. So whether you're 18 or 81 or anywhere in between, I firmly believe that as you become a youer you, as your genuine, unique nature becomes increasingly unfettered and empowered, you become ever more enabled to offer your gift, to live fully with meaning and purpose, to become a change maker, a difference maker, and a happiness maker. George Eliot said, "It's never too late to be what you might have been." But it is too late for me to talk any more today. We've delved quite deeply into names. My name, Annie Gigg, this show's name, Better Me, Better World, and the name I gave to that betterment process, the BU journey. Want to take a next step on the BU journey? To get more of a feel for what intentional personal transformation is all about, I invite you to tune in to episode 2, Better Me, Better World, same time next week, same place here at CFRU 93.3 FM or CFRU.ca. The shows are recorded, so alternatively, have a listen when it works best for you. Until next time, be you. I'm Annie Gigg.